The Stowe Center welcomes Dr. Bettina Love as their 2024 Stowe Prize for Literary Activism winner, author of Punished for Dreaming, How School Reform Harms Black Children and How We Heal, which offers a roadmap for repair, arguing for reparations with transformation for all at its core. Dr. Bettina Love holds the prestigious William F. Russell Professorship at Teachers College and Columbia University and is the acclaimed author of the New York Times bestseller, Punished for Dreaming. The event will be taking place on Wednesday, September 18th. Also joining us, in addition to Dr. Bettina Love, is Karen Fisk, Executive Director of the Harriet Beecher Stowe Center in Hartford, Connecticut. And I welcome you both to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you both here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, let us begin with you, Karen, as far as this event and ultimately this award and the importance that it has within the overall context and mission of the Stowe Center.
Absolutely. This is actually the 10th year this award is being given. It is the Stowe Prize for Literary Activism, and it recognizes a significant book that takes on a social justice issue with readable text and clear calls to action, which Punished for Dreaming absolutely did. We have had great success with these books in the past 10 years. One of them, the second book that won the prize, was Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow. Punished for Dreaming has been advertised as a prequel to The New Jim Crow, which is a very interesting way to combine and think about those two books. I also saw that The New York Times just ran the best books of the 21st century, and those included Michelle Alexander's book. It also included Matthew Desmond's book, Evicted. Both of those were prize winners. And also Ta-Nehisi Coates' book, and he also was a prize winner. So, Dr. Love, we're very excited that you are part of the legacy of this prize as well.
Dr. Love, do you consider yourself to be a literary activist?
No, I don't. I consider myself to be a scholar. I consider myself to be a teacher. I consider myself to be an educator. I think activist is probably last, and I just fight that title because I hold activism and activists in such high regard. And many people would say I'm an activist. It's just hard for me to take on that title because I just have so much respect and I see the sacrifices that activists make. And so it's hard for me to take on that title. I understand where it comes from. I understand why people call my work that. I get it. I don't fight it, but it's just hard because I just admire and have so much admiration for activists.
But if I told you, and you know this is true, of course, that people read your work and are changed, to take action, which by its definition is what an activist does.
I mean, that's why you're good at your radio show. Yes, you're right. You're exactly right. It's such an honor. It's such a humbling thing to know. So yes.
But point taken in the sense of, and please correct me if I'm wrong on this assumption, but by you saying that, it's that you do not sit down to write in an activist manner, in the sense of you don't sit down as you are writing to be an overt activist.
No, when I'm writing, I sit down to indict the system. I sit down to try to make it plain to people what is happening in the lives of Black and Brown and Indigenous children. That is my goal when I sit down and write. I always say that when you sit down and write, you're looking at a white screen. It's just white screen. And my job is to fill it up with little Black and Brown people. So each keystroke, I just try to fill up with little black dots on that white page and try to make sense of the world that Black and Brown folks are experiencing and the harms that we are experiencing. So I feel my job is to try my best to tell our stories in a way that will call people to action. So yes, you are right, but I just have a hard time with that title.
When you think of that indictment of a system, that is, I mean, obviously that's I think, an incredible goal. it just seems to me that there's a lot to indict, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing, is it's sort of focusing it to me would be the difficult part of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's 2024, the United States of America. We have so much to talk about. And that is why this award is such an honor for me. It's because typically education books don't get this type of love. Typically education books are like, oh, you know, that's really cute, it's education. And so for an education book to win this prize means so much, because I believe that democracy hinges on a healthy education, public education system. And so I'm so grateful for this award, because we can indict so much right now, but we have to be thinking about education and our current education system and how it is failing, divesting, and punishing Black and brown children. And so to lift those stories up was truly an honor and a privilege, and try to indict a system and show people what is happening in the everyday lives of Black and brown children in this country, in a place that is supposed to be egalitarian, in a system, in an institution that is supposed to be built on the foundation of justice, and how it is failing our children. So it's really an honor for an education book to get this type of recognition, because typically they don't.
Dr. Bettina Love is our guest, along with Karen Fisk, Executive Director of the Harriet Beecher Stowe Center. When it comes actually to school reform, where are we right now, especially in an election year where there are candidates who are saying that we should do away with the education department?
Well, I think we are in what I would call the path of erasure. And so here we are with one candidate saying that we should do away with Department of Education, we should ban books, we should do away with DEI. We are in a moment of Project 2025. And I would argue that we're not at the beginning of Project 2025. We're actually at the culmination of Project 2025. But on the other end of the spectrum, we have a candidate that has not said much about education. Right. And so I don't, you know, what I try to do in Punish for Dreaming is I go after red and blue, because they both as a party has failed us when it comes to education reform. And up until Trump's presidency, if you look at the last 40 years of education reform, Republicans and Democrats have been pretty lock in step when you think about charter schools, divestment, testing, right? They've been lock in step. And so I try to be very fair in this book and indicting all political parties when it comes to education, because none of them have a gold star when it comes to what we want and what we need in public education in this country.
Why not? Why is that a hard sell for both the political parties, do you think?
I think it's a hard sell, number one, because most teachers are women. And so we have a profession where people don't believe that women should be paid a fair wage. We have a profession where people believe that this is just women's work. So I think that's the very first thing. We've watched a divestment and look what teachers get paid in this country. I think it's also about race. And we have to be very clear about race. We don't want to invest in Black and brown children as a country. And that has just been shown throughout history. And so when you have your schools filled with Black and brown children, you see a divestment. When you have your schools filled with Black and brown children, you see dilapidated schools. We have schools in this country that don't have clean water. We have schools in this country where the HVACs are polluting the lungs of our children. We have schools in Flint, Michigan that haven't had clean water, and now children are mute. Children cannot speak and nonverbal because of the environmental racism. So we have to be pointing our fingers on racism, anti-Blackness, and how they show up in our policies. And that's what this book is really trying to get at, is that, you know, we think about racism as someone calling you a bad word or someone saying something bad about you. Racism is about policy. Racism is what Carol Anderson talks about in her book, White Rage, when she says you can make racism a policy, a book ban, a divisive bill, legislation. And so what we're watching in education right now is how racism plays out through policy.
New policy and also a lack of policy, right?
That too. And yeah. That's the divestment. That's the saying you care, but you really don't care. And it's also policies that are punitive and punish as well.
And we're seeing more and more of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is what I try to get teachers and people to understand. If you ask almost any educator, you ask anybody that has a peripheral understanding of education, and you say, do you know that we have a prison to school pipeline in this country? Everyone would say, yeah. That's crazy to me that everybody knows that we have a prison to school pipeline. That should shake us at our very core. And we have done nothing really to try to end something so harmful. And so this is why I'm just so honored that a book like this is receiving this type of recognition.
Karen, let's go back for a moment as to how this book was chosen and what you saw in it that made it so important and something that you wanted to bestow this prize on.
So the Stowe Prize is actually crowdsourced. We ask our friends and audiences to offer us a list of books that were published within the past 3 years that they think have a really powerful social justice message. And this year we had quite a few books, and we came down to a short list that included The Groundbreaking by Scott Ellsworth, Chain Gang All-Stars by Nana Kwame Adichie Brenya, Heaven and Earth Grocery Store by James McBride, Let Us Descend by Jasmine Ward, and of course, Bettina's book. And then we have a panelist of 11 people who are scholars, educators, people from the community who are part of different worship places. And we debate the books. We read them first, and then we debate them. And I'm not involved with this. I'm a listener only on this. I mean, I have my favorites. And I will say, Dr. Love, yours was my favorite.
Thank you.
but I don't say anything. I just listen. And what impressed the folks the most, and they really did a good job of thinking hard about each and every one of these really important books. Chain Gang All-Stars is an amazing book, futuristic look at the United States that talks about the carceral system. Not unlike Harriet Beecher Stowe, he had footnotes talking about the real carceral system, the one that we understand today, and how it might link to this future, very dim, sad and scary look at the carceral system. They really debated all these books. And when it came right down to it, Dr. Love's book stood up as the one with the clearest call to action. And the topmost part of that call to action is love. Truly, it's about love. If we love humanity, if we love children, we have to pay attention to this book that Dr. Love wrote. It's a book that tells us clearly that there have been systems of oppression. As you said just earlier, racism as policy in the education system that has absolutely undermined absolutely all of us. And we heard that message, and we wanted to share that message. And actually this year, 10th year that we're awarding this prize, we chose to use the ideas that Dr. Love brought forward all year long. In Salons at Stowe, which is a way that we gather people together, share really important information, and then talk about it with each other. I mean, the key to democracy, honestly, is us talking to each other. I personally love the part in your book where you take words like super predator and you turn them around and say, listen, you're going to use this word, I'm going to use it right back at you. Because that's what literary activism is also, is really careful use of words. Use them to make your point, use them to remind people of humanity also, and use them to change people's minds. So the process is, as I said, crowdsourced, then a debate process where everybody brings forward, where a panel of people, educated people, interested, curious people bring forward their thoughts, and then a voting process. And Dr. Love, your book, he was unanimously chosen as the winner for this prize.
Congratulations. That's on amazing. That as well. You can find out information about this event, which takes place Wednesday, September 18th, by going to harrietbeecherstowecenter.org, harrietbeecherstowecenter.org, taking place in Hartford, Connecticut. Dr. Love, I guess I would like to end with this question, which is something that not only in the book, but just taking it from the subtitle as well, of something that's so important and I think so often overlooked, which is how we heal.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get better at that? I mean, obviously, regardless of what we do to change this, we also have this process ahead of us of healing.
Yeah. Thank you for that question. You know, I think it's really important, and the book tries to lay out that the process of healing really starts with atonement.
Hmm.
Have you ever done something to somebody and you hurt their feelings? And when you actually apologize, it just, all that frustration, all that anxiety, all that stress, all that pain, somehow just, it doesn't go away, but it's a little softer. And so what I try to argue in the book is the first step for us to really, as a country, is to atone for the harm that we've done, to take accountability for that harm, to talk about that harm, and to really start the idea that you have done this to a group of people. And if you want that group of people to really feel as though they are a part of this country, and they are, and we are as a country moving in a direction towards justice, towards love, towards healing, then you have to apologize to me for what you've done. You have to show some remorse, and then you have to start making it right. And that's through what we call reparations. And another word for reparations is repair. And I think when people hear the word reparations, they get, you know, they like, oh my God, you want to give everybody money. Yeah, we kind of do. We kind of want to say, hey, you've done these things, and there's something that you have to monetarily understand. But then there's also the process that if you truly are accountable and want to atone for harm, then you will also start to change the policies that did the harm. And that's where love actually comes in. Where I want to stop doing the harm to you, so I'm going to build a system and structure so these policies and these things can't harm you any longer. And not just you, your children's children's children. And that is really when you get at the idea of accountability and healing, is when you actually atone, take accountability, and create structures and systems so you can do the least amount of harm moving forward.
Dr. Bettina Love will be receiving the 2024 Stowe Prize for Literary Activism for the book Punish for Dreaming, How School Reform Harms Black Children and How We Heal. The event is being held on Wednesday, September 18th. You can find out more information by going to Harriet Beecher Stowe Center. .org, harrietbeecherstowecenter.org. My thanks to Dr. Love and, of course, to Karen Fisk, Executive Director of the Harriet Beecher Stowe Center in Hartford. Thank you so much, both of you. Have a beautiful evening on the 18th, and congratulations, Dr. Love.
Thank you so much. And I just want to give a big shout out to the center. It's such an amazing award, and I cannot wait to join you all in celebration. Thank you so much.
Be well, all. Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more information by going to HarrietBeecherStoweCenter.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.